This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Sorry, I usually don't eat on the air, but I just wanted to remind you that the credit crunch isn't over. Today, a bank in England called Bradford & Bingley reported a steep loss and some other bad news about its books. This is a huge mortgage lender, so analysts are looking at this as a sign the subprime fallout carries on. Bank stocks tumbled in Europe and now on Wall Street. So far, the Dow is down 79 points to 12,559. The NASDAQ is down 11 points so far. Make that 17 now. The S&P 500 has dropped 8. In Asia today, the markets gained a fraction, but European shares are down 1% so far. One other bank note, Wachovia said this morning CEO Ken Thompson is retiring at the board's request. The New York Times has a very interesting story this morning about student loans. The paper says banks are ignoring some community colleges and lesser-known universities altogether. So that means their students will have a tougher time getting money for their education. More now from Nancy Marshall Genzer.
The banks look at future earning power and default rates when deciding whether to make a student loan. Standard & Poor's chief economist David Weiss says too often students at less selective colleges default.
And then because of personal problems, job problems, because they don't complete the programs, they can't pay the money back.
I don't agree with that statement.
Susan Mead is the financial aid director at Dutchess Community College in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Our default rate is approximately right now about 9%. So that's 9 students out of 100 who may be having difficulty repaying their loans.
Mead says banks are shooting themselves in the foot because the very students they're rejecting now feed into the 4-year colleges the banks want to lend to. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
A couple months ago, the big airline trade group predicted the industry would make a profit this year, $4.5 billion. Now the group says airlines will lose $2.3 billion, and that's based on oil at $106 a barrel, so things could turn out even worse. This morning, oil did drop to about $125 a barrel. Some prominent African Americans and representatives from major companies are in Africa this week. They're attending the Leon H. Sullivan Summit. Sullivan was the first African-American to sit on the board of a Fortune 500 company. He joined GM's board in 1971. The summit named after him is designed to promote business ties to Africa. Gretchen Wilson has more from Johannesburg.
Delegates to the conference include prime ministers and senior executives from firms with big stakes in Africa, including Chevron, Procter & Gamble, and mining giant Rio Tinto. Rod Gillum is a vice president at General Motors, which makes cars in Egypt, South Africa, and Tunisia.
Africa itself is increasing in importance, but also as they increase their influence as an important consumer market, I believe that more and more corporations will want to expand and grow there.
So the summit also serves as an Africa 101 for U.S. businesses. They come here to find out the basics on which African markets are open for American products and services.
And also, I think, in a way to demystify certain regions of the continent, that they are, in fact, open for business.
Delegates are also looking for ways business can help Africa with the ongoing challenges of climate change, unemployment, and rising food prices. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, working to reduce heart disease, the number one killer of American women, by supporting Women Heart.
information@womenheart.org.
The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, online at kauffman.org.
I was online the other day looking at rental cars for a summer trip. I did a search and the prices came up. The cheapest rental car was an SUV. It was less expensive than the economy car. At first I thought this was a mistake, but then I realized that actually makes sense. Let's find out more from Bill McGee. He's a travel columnist for USA Today. Bill, is that about right? The prices are going up on the smaller cars?
Absolutely. It's all about supply and demand. And it can be very, very hard to obtain not just the exact make and model, but even the class of car you want. This happened to me a few months ago. My son and I were visiting relatives, and so I rented a car. And I had booked a compact car, and when we got there, we had a big, huge four-wheel drive truck. And my son thought it was cool because it had a great stereo system, and that was wonderful. But it really didn't hit me until a month later when my bill for my gasoline credit card came in. It was about three times what I normally would pay in a month.
Wow.
And again, this was an upgrade that I didn't ask for, I wasn't looking for. So it's something that you're going to have to look out for this summer.
Okay, so what should people do this summer if they need to rent a car and go on a trip?
Well, I think a couple of strategies might work. One is when you make the reservation, you want to stress that you're looking for a compact car. Also, don't get there too late in the day if possible, because the availability of vehicles might be much smaller. But the bottom line is there is going to be a shortage of smaller cars this summer.
Are the rental companies responding and infusing their fleets with smaller cars?
From what I've heard, yes. I spoke to someone at one of the large rental companies the other day, and he said that, in fact, they are doing that. But, you know, there's a lag time here. You know, the rental companies can't just automatically, you know, send cars back and swap them for smaller cars. Obviously, there are lease agreements. But I think, you know, if gas prices stay the way they are, this time next year you're going to see a lot of smaller cars in the rental fleets.
So are you taking any trips this summer, Bill?
I am, but my son and I are going to stay local.
Sounds like a good plan. Bill McGee, travel columnist for USA Today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Share your travel booking adventures with us online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.